Times Radio with Alexis Conran.
And it's driven me. Let me know, let me know, let me know, let me know about all your 45s and the paperback rooms, and it's scattered all the photographs of summers and suns, and you're a real gone kid.
That, of course, is the sound of legendary Glasgow band Deacon Blue. Now, they enjoyed a notable chart success in the 1980s and early 90s with 12 UK top 40 singles and 2 number one albums.
And I'll sit on the west coast, in villages and towns. I'll be on my holidays, they'll be doing bands. They'll ask me, I save my money. I say, isn't she pretty? That she called me the team.
That, of course, is their hit Dignity from the band's debut album Raintown, which was even once voted Scotland's greatest song. I'm delighted to be joined now by the band singer Ricky Ross, who's just written his memoir called Walking Back Home. Ricky, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Ricky, I'll come on to the book in a moment, but as a good Greek boy, I was tickled to learn that Dignity, one of your most loved songs, was actually written in Greece.
It was written on a Greek island of Crete. And the very first time in the back in the days in 1987, you did children's TV as your first promo, you know?
Yeah.
And they managed to put a map of Turkey in the background.
So oh, no.
It wasn't always quite as clear. I think it mentioned Raki. I think they sort of...
Right.
Raki is Turkish.
You'll
be slightly, you know, disappointed about that.
Slightly disappointed. But I must say. But did you often go to Crete? Did you like sort of go off on holiday and write songs on a beach? I mean, sounds very romantic.
No, I didn't. I got bored on that particular holiday and had written a couple of lyrics, which is very unlike me. I don't think I've ever really done that again. I had written a couple of lyrics, sort of standalone lyrics, and waited till I got home till I sort of set them to music. And oddly, they both songs ended up on that first Deacon Blue album. They were both in the same key, and they both really effectively had the same chords, but they were quite different songs. But there you go.
Tell me about the book, Walking Home, Ricky Ross, Deacon Blue and Me. What was, I don't want to say what's the inspiration, because obviously it's your career, but what made you write that book now?
Well, I think one of the reasons it's probably been quite a comfortable experience for me is that I didn't set out to write a book. I started by writing some random memories about people that were close to me, people that meant a lot to me, like my grandparents, my parents, my kind of circle of community where I grew up, and then eventually one or two of the first people that I worked with and for. And I realised that in doing that, it sort of started in the process. And one of the reasons I did it was because I'd written a song for the last Deacon Blue album called On Love, which was a celebration really of very early life, failed romances and girlfriends and all that kind of thing. And in passing, I'd mentioned my grandparents. And I thought, you know, it's funny that you the only time you ever refer, people would just think they're like little ghosts here. They just come in this song and then they go away again. They're a bit like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern and Hamlet or something like that. You know, they're not fully fledged characters. So I thought, actually, wouldn't it be good to actually talk about them properly? Because they were brilliant characters and brilliantly important. I mean, so important to me, so important to me.
How important, but what did they do that was so important to you? What did they do that shaped you to become the person that you are now?
Well, for a start, I mean, they were just a completely different generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, two generations back, my grandfather had been through the First World War. He survived both. You know, one of the reasons that we're all here is because our grandparents survived the First World War. Mm-hmm. That's a sort of, you know, a fact of history. And my he had survived probably by being injured. We used to talk about his hole in his arm. And my grandmother was a dressmaker. She worked in what was probably a very sort of poorly paid work. So they're both very, you know, just very normal. Although they wouldn't ever call themselves working class. I don't know why that was, but they were. They had nothing. They had my grandfather had been through a series of jobs and some things hadn't worked out. But they were of that generation which survived two remarkable wars. You know, first of all, fighting them, and then he did sort of national service, working in a factory in armaments in the Second World War. And their values of just goodness, of certainly faith for me was a big, big part of it, but just kindness and openness to the world. And, you know, as the world was changing, you know, lots of things happened. I always remember being at their house, the little flat in the Hawk Hill in Dundee, on the day. We would always go once a week for tea. And on this particular day, they were both talking about the funeral of Martin Luther King. It had been on the television. And I think they'd been quite taken, because they were evangelical, fundamentalist Christians. And here they were seeing the story of a sort of a political, someone who was probably a distant character to them, but they'd related so much to the hymns and the singing at the funeral. They thought, this is really important. We must pay attention to this.
Now, looking at the book, one would expect, and I have to say it's full of wonderful photos as well of your grandparents and all of those sort of influential people in your life throughout your career. But, you know, one would expect, picking up a book, which I have here in front of me, of an 80s and 90s pop star, you'd expect a few stories of, you know, crazy stuff happening. But there isn't your classic sort of pop star up to no good in hotel rooms in New York, et cetera, fill in the blanks. But there is a lot about faith. There's a lot about politics, and particularly faith, which I want to talk about with you, because that is your sort of rock, isn't it? Your faith.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that as I've got older, I realized that although you change how you practice your belief and how you interpret that and maybe how you just go about it at an everyday level, the stories, the values, the core of that is so important. And how I got that was, you know, from my grandparents, from my parents, from my mum reading Bible stories. And as I say, interpretation of that, maybe how the strictness of that, which I don't think we've imposed on our kids by any means, and the way that, you know, you sort of see that playing out in your life, maybe that's slightly changed. But I think the goodness of it, the fundamental truth of it, and the belief of it, you know, the fact that I still have it there as a core of what I kind of think about life. Now, I'm not a great person, but I don't think, you know, that's the whole point of faith, is to help people. You know, it's like, that's the whole point, is to make people not believe in themselves, but to believe in something else. So I think, yeah, it's a huge part. And to be honest with you, there's a million books, you know, the Jim Morrison, and, you know, Rolling Stones, but you can read all that stuff if you want to read it all. But that's so I'm not really interested in that.
Ricky, was it difficult to keep your faith, to be a man of faith, during the 80s and the 90s, in the career that you chose, in the music industry?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, Alex, because someone said to me, you know, someone asked a similar kind of question. I was saying, well, the problem for me was not, sort of like growing up in the church, was you had two possible paths, one which were quite common. One was that you just stuck by the faith and you kept, and some people that I grew up with are still there. And then there were other people who, as soon as they turned maybe 15, 16, they just went, no, this is not for me. I want to smoke cigarettes. I want to go out on Saturday night. I don't want to get up on a Sunday morning. And I certainly don't want to spend it all my days at church. And they equally have sort of made quite clean-cut decisions. My problem was, I think I tried to ride, always have tried to ride two horses. And I think that's what makes life both difficult, but it also makes life interesting, because I think that's, you know, you can't deny that. If that's something that's there for you and it's a truth for you, then you have to, you have to kind of follow that through. So yeah, it's been an interesting old journey.
Another sort of very interesting part of your life, you know, as we said there, being a person of faith through the 80s and 90s in an industry surrounded with all sorts of the things that would not necessarily coexist with faith that well. But you're also married to Lorraine, who's part of the band. Notoriously a difficult thing to have your partner also as a colleague.
Yeah.
Was faith something that sort of helped you with that, or were you just a natural pair that in any circumstance, whether you were a man of faith or not, you were just meant to be together?
Well, we've been married for 32 years.
Yeah.
And we were together last night. We did a little show last night. Deacon Blue were together. And, so we're still doing it and still enjoying it. Yeah, I think it's something that I think, you know, I'm not going to give anyone else advice, but I think for us, what works is that we do have conversations about these things. We do try and follow these paths. We have gone down similar, you know, spiritual roads at the same time and compared notes and so on. And I think we've always taken the line that if one of us is sort of following a particular path, then the other one at least needs to go down and find out what that looks like. So I think we've done that together. And a lot of conversations on the way. We like each other's company. It's kind of an odd thing, but we actually like each other's company. We came together probably more because of the music that we both, you know, she was the person in the band whose music I think I related to most, and vice versa. You know, we talked about Van Morrison. We both love Springsteen, and, you know, we had a love of song. I think Lorraine wouldn't call herself a songwriter. She has co-written things. There's other things she has that are brilliant, but she would, you know, she has a love of deep love of songs. And once she finds one, she puts it on 10 times in a row. You know, she's that kind of thing. But I think that was one of the things that brought us together. And, you know, as I say, a lot of people think, oh, it must be a hard thing. Well, if you make it hard, it's hard. But we actually enjoy it. We actually enjoy being able to work together, go places together. And we've managed to muddle through with our kids to such an extent that they're all kind of grown up now.
Look, Ricky, we're running out of time, but together with the book, you've also released your eighth solo album. I think you're out touring, am I right? You're going to be?
I'm going to be out touring in September right through to mid-October. All points. So I'm going to just added some Irish dates, which are in November. Starts off in Aberdeen. I think it ends up in the south of England and London at the Cadogan Hall, which is a beautiful venue. Yeah. It's me. It's a piano. I'm going to bring the book and tell some stories from that, which people that probably come to shows will not be surprised at. But yeah, it's a chance to play these intimate songs. And a lot of the book and the has song titles there as chapters. So a lot of it feeds into each other. And I think it's a chance just to, you know, it's a different kind of show at the Deacon Blue Show, completely different show. It's a much more, you know, it's a slower, more steady process, but it has hopefully moments which people will really, really love. I'm also should say I'm in London today because I'm over at Rough Trade tonight doing a question and answer about the book with the lovely Paul Sexton, great journalist, at 7 o'clock tonight. So if you're free and you're in London, come along and hear me.
Wonderful stuff. Ricky, thank you so much. I have so many more questions. We've run out of time, but another time, Ricky.
Lovely to speak to you.
Thank you so much for giving me all this time. Thank you. Ricky Ross there, talking about his memoir. It's called A Walking Back Home. He's going to be at Rough Trade at 7 p.m. today if you are in London. And, of course, he's out on tour in September, as you heard. So you can find him online and get your tickets there. What a lovely chat. Really, really nice. It's 3:35, a little bit late to the half-hour headlines and sport brought to you now.